In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel lesson this morning presents us with one of the most famous stories of the Bible, the story of the rich young ruler, told in all three of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And each gospel tells the story in varying details. Matthew tells us that he's young. Luke tells us that he's a ruler. And only the Gospel of Mark this morning are we told that Jesus loved him. And all three tell us that he is wealthy. It is the only recorded account in the Gospels when Jesus is refused the personal invitation to follow him. The story of the rich young ruler has tugged at the hearts of Christians for 20 centuries, and it always will. Today, the rich young ruler runs to Jesus. He kneels before him and he questions Jesus. And already there is a change in context. Because often, and most often, when we hear Jesus questioned in the Bible, he's questioned with ill intent. The authorities want to trap him, trick him, hurt him, embarrass him, debate him. He's often on his toes and in defense. But here we almost immediately recognize an authenticity within the rich young ruler. He wants to know the things of God, and he wants to want the things of God. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, for a time, discusses with him the law of Moses. For a Jewish man, a devout Jewish man, such as the rich young ruler, would have attempted to the best of his ability since the time of his bar mitzvah and previously to keep the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments. And Jesus affirms the man that he had done this earnestly. And Jesus saw something in the rich young ruler, something that inspired him to offer something to him that he had only offered to 12 other people to come follow him. We're not really sure what Jesus saw in the rich young ruler, but we know this. Whatever he saw, he loved. And he gave the offer to the rich young ruler, and the offer came with a requirement. To follow Jesus always comes with requirements. And the requirement for this particular young man was not the same universally for all followers of Jesus. Jesus was the great physician. He didn't give the same pill to every patient. But for this man, for this man's need, Jesus required of him the one thing that was holding him back: to go sell all his possessions, be unencumbered, and to follow him. And this is where the story takes a tragic turn to a tragic end. The young rich ruler walks away grieving. Let me just pause for a moment to say it went to a tragic end, but not to a hopeless end. Notice it says that he walked away grieving. You can't grieve if you've never loved. You can't grieve if you don't care. I trust and believe that the grieving within this rich young ruler wooed him and tugged him back to the things of Christ in time. He never would have come to the original offer to be a disciple. But he tasted the love of Jesus. He was tugged home, I know. So what did he leave? What did he walk away grieving from? When we look at the disciples who stayed with Jesus, what did they have? Three amazing things. They had friendship with Jesus. They knew the love of God personified in this man. They ate with him. They laughed with him. They heard his teaching. They saw his miracles. And in that friendship, they grew. You can't live with Jesus and not grow and mature. So secondly, they grew. The disciples didn't have it right at first, did they? They were like bumbling puppies. They didn't get it wrong some of the time. They got it wrong most of the time. But in time, they matured, they were formed, and they grew. That's what happens when you live with unconditional love. And then thirdly, they had this amazing camaraderie. They had a fellowship that stayed with them past the death and the cross. Throughout the end of their lives, they had this amazing fellowship, one with another. They had much. And so we ask, and I make at this point a very radical proposal for the sermon. And that is that in our generation, in this particular era, in this particular age, we have more connection with the story of the rich young ruler than any generation in the 20th century since the story happened. Because more people today, I propose, walk away from the things of Christ grieving than ever before. It's not that I don't love our generation. How proud I am to be alive in this era, in this age, with all the creativity, the invention, the beauty. But every generation has a shadow side, doesn't it? Our generation has a shadow side. We live in a disposable generation. A generation of instant everything, instant love, instant gratification, instant food, instant information, instant presumed wealth. And with that instant everything comes a shrinking of our spiritual and emotional attention spans. And so it is when something doesn't work at first, we simply and so often quit and we walk to something else. And so we see in our life where we do this. We run so often, do we not, to our careers and to our friendships and to our churches. And we don't last very long. I want to be a writer. I want to be a writer in my career. So like the rich young ruler, with authenticity, I run to the career of writing with talent and vision and desire. But I get there and there's a requirement of years of sacrifice, years of toil, years of perhaps a string of rejection. And all too often, I quit too soon and I walk away grieving. I run to my friendships, my marriages, my relationships, my marriage, not marriages. And like the rich young ruler with authenticity to love and to be loved. And yet we come so often with those great possessions of self-will, of self-grandizement, of self-centeredness. And we come up face to face with the requirement of self-sacrifice, of self-giving, and we walk away grieving. Or how about our churches, our faith communities? Like the rich young ruler, we walk with authenticity to the faith community, wanting to know the things of God, wanting to want the things of God. But we walk up and we're faced with the reality, perhaps, of the imperfection of the church, with the disillusionment sometimes that we see, or with the long haul of time that it takes to grow, because church and the growth in God is never instant. It takes place only through the long haul of time. And so often we become discouraged, disillusioned, and we slowly walk away grieving. I tell a story. The story of my grandmother, who was born in 1896. I'm telling the story because my cousin is here today. And she knew my grandmother. She's the only one on earth that remembers my grandmother and my grandmother's parents. But until the day my grandmother died in her 90s, she told me a story of something she experienced in her church in the early 1930s during the height of the Depression. She belonged to a guild in the church, and the guild worked all the year long to support the ministry of the church. And around Christmas time, they decided, the members of the guild, to take up a little collection, which would have been a hard thing to do during the Depression. I'm sure it wasn't much money. But they wanted to give the minister's wife a small token of appreciation for all her work throughout the year. And they gave her a little purse of money. And she was so touched and moved by that gift. Do you know what she did? She went out. And she bought a red hat. And she wore that hat proudly to the Christmas service. But many in the guild did not appreciate the red hat. They thought it was unbecoming a minister's wife in such hard times to wear something so often. They wrote her a letter requesting that she return the red hat. She read the letter. She honored the letter. And she returned the red hat. But she was never quite the same. It had hurt her so deeply. And my grandmother was furious with those who had written the letter. There was dissension. There was argument within the guild. There was a time she wouldn't even speak to some within the guild. It took a long time for that guild to come back to any sense of normalcy, to any sense of ministry within the church. But you know what the curious thing is about this story? It never would have occurred to my grandmother to quit the guild. I would have quit the guild and started a new guild, a better guild. And if that didn't work, I'd start another guild. But in her generation, you lived with it. You lived in the tension. You stayed there. You didn't walk away grieving. I've never forgotten that. That is really the message of the story of the rich young ruler. May we take this message to heart and come to our churches, our faith communities, and learn to be friends with Jesus. Through the Eucharist, through the preaching and the reading of the Word, and stay with it, And if sometimes it makes no sense, if sometimes we're just going through the motions, knowing that growth is like the minute hand of a clock. You can't see it move, but in time you've noticed it's moved. Growth in God will never be fast and will never be instant. It takes place only over time. And let us come not leaving, grieving the fellowship of the church. The fellowship of the disciples is available to us. You are sitting in a pew today, and you might not even know the names of the people in front of you or in back of you, but you are here with them in fellowship. When you come spiritually dry, spiritually dead, they carry you in believing the faith. They carry you in the hymns and the prayers, and when you are strong, you carry them. But you have to be here to do that. May we think twice in our soul before we leave the meaningful things of God ever grieving. And when we do, to have the hope that that grieving will one day talk us back to the things of Christ. Amen.